Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Congress, majority of Democrats and a majority of Republicans. Both the House and the Senate have now voted to support a key element of our strategy, our plan to train and equip the opposition in Syria so they can help push back these terrorists.
Liar.
As I said last week,
Islamist on fire.
We're the strongest as a nation when the president and
Liar.
Together.
Liar. Islamist on fire.
For the speed and seriousness with which they approach.
Liar. Liar. Islamist on fire.
Are you live now? Oh, I didn't know that. I was just rehearsing for the show.
Yeah. All right, the love music is over. Now we're into anger music, rage music. How much more can we take of this liar and the passive Congress, the invisible press, the Stalinist government? Welcome to the Savage Nation. How much more can you take of this? Aren't you tired about hearing about the problems in the NFL on every conservative show and radio? All week long, hiding behind goons in football uniforms. While our government has been snatched from us in the middle of the night. Stolen! Taken from us. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. How quaint. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That makes as much sense as using George Washington's dentist to replace your loose tooth. You may as well get wooden teeth to replace your loose teeth today as believe a word that comes out of the major networks, or for that matter, the cable networks. Everyday lies. Stalinist lies. So they vote for independence from England and Scotland, and they lose. And now there are reports from independent observers who say the election was stolen. It was rigged. It was rigged by Cameron in London, who knew that if he lost, he'd be thrown out. Yes, indeedy. Always bold, always winning. The Savage Nation champion for America's borders, language, and culture. What a quaint idea. What a quaint idea that we have borders. Isn't it under Barack Obama? Isn't it a quaint idea that we have a language when he's importing people who are illiterate in their own language? They can't read or write Spanish, let alone English, but they know how to check off the box for free medical care, free health care, free legal care, free welfare, free amnesty. Just check the box and John Boehner will rubber stamp you. Yes, indeed. And they have a few voices on the other side. A few voices. Ted Cruz is one of them. Nine people voted against authorizing funding the terrorists in Syria. Nine. Count them. Nine Republicans. A few Democrats stood up to the dictator. Few. But most went along with it. So that's why I say, folks, today is a day of rage. It's open mic to mic. 855-407-282. Normally it's Rock and Roll Friday with 50s music. I'm not in the mood. I'm just not in the mood for it. If you want to pick up any of the topics that we did this week, from the silent treatment to whatever, I don't remember them anymore. It's been a long week. And let's have some more rage music, guys. Clint, fire one. Goes the P1 audience. Anyone over 30, the hearing aids are screaming in their ears. Calling the audiologists. I got nothing to complain about, I mean, but I'm angry anyway. Go figure that one. How do you figure that out? Let's stop for a minute. Yeah, did you ever wake up and say that you have nothing to be angry about, but you're pissed off all the time? I mean, think about it. I've got nothing to be angry at. I've achieved everything I ever wanted to achieve in my life, and I'm so angry I don't know how to express it. I have a radio show in which to express my anger. I can't imagine how you deal with it. How do you deal with this? The lies out there. Now, many of you turn to religion. You say, all right, well, this world stinks anyway, so I'll go to religion. I'll wait for the hereafter. Well, I'm not one of those. I'm not waiting for the hereafter. And secondly, I don't want to be in a heaven where guys get to rape virgins. I don't want to be there where they rape infants, if that's where heaven is. It's impossible to believe a whole religion can be built on raping babies. It's even insane, more insane to believe a nation would let people in who believe in raping babies in the next world, let alone what they're doing in this world. TV evangelist, remember him, Jim Baker, the one who used to cry on television? 20 years after his release from prison following fraud allegations, the disgraced pastor is selling survivalist kits, including end-of-the-world biscuits. The disgraced pastor is busy selling unique survival kits, apparently for the apocalypse. On his website for his latest TV program, the disgraced religious fraud is selling everything from bulk end-of-the-world biscuits, extreme survival bottles, two for $57, and extreme cold weather apparel. Well, that must mean heaven is filled with cold weather. I mean, we know that the opposite is where it's hot. So I guess you need to buy the cold weather apparel for heaven. That's quite a choice, isn't it? Quite a choice. Have you known any religious frauds in your life? Have you experienced any religious frauds in your life? Are you currently engaged in exposing a religious fraudster? It's an odd topic because there's nowhere to turn anymore. We're against the wall. Our back's to a wall. I'm not going to talk about the NFL. I'm never going to talk about the NFL. I don't care about the NFL. They've always been losers to me. I don't care if they make $25 million a day. I can't stand talking about them. It lowers my IQ. You want to hear something to complain about? Here's a woman in New York City walking across the street in Central Park, and I can't use the word on radio, a so-called cyclist pedaling a $4,000 racing bike at high speed through Central Park, slams into this woman shopping for her daughter's birthday present, and she's dead. Jill Turlow, 59, of Fairfield, Connecticut, wife of a CBS executive, was in a crosswalk near 63rd Street when Jason Marshall, aged 31, comes barreling along West Drive and starts screaming, "Get out of my way! Get out of my way! Get out of the way!" He has no brakes on his bicycle. Cyclist Jason Marshall killed her, and he's not been charged. The Manhattan DA's office is afraid of charging him, A, because he's not white, and B, because he's a bicyclist, two protected classes. Witness Philip Fenton, 21, visiting New York on a geography field trip from England's University of Exeter, said the bicyclist was speeding, adding, "It didn't look like he tried to stop." No kidding. Of course he didn't try to stop. Another guy said Marshall was hunched over the brakeless triathlon-style aero bars attached to the handlebars of his high-performance yellow and black ride, smashed the woman into the ground. Meanwhile, local residents have long complained at Central Park Precinct Community Council meetings that the cyclists are out of control. Last month, a 75-year-old Brooklyn Technical High School physics teacher was killed in Central Park when another cyclist trying to avoid a pedicab slammed into him. 2 days later, he died. So this is what's going on. It happened in San Francisco. I almost got killed 2 years ago on the Embarcadero by a vermin of the lowest order. Going the wrong way, by the way. I looked to the left where the car is supposed to be coming from. This piece of garbage was speeding down on the right side. But for the grace of God, I stopped. He would have killed me. Remember that story I told you about? And a black guy came out of nowhere to stop the ensuing altercation that would have occurred, and he probably would have killed me? Because I would have had to shoot him. This guy was enraged. He wanted to kill somebody. He was looking to kill somebody. He was looking to commit homicide on a bicycle. Most bicyclists are looking to kill somebody. They're out of control. And I'm a man who rides a bicycle every day. I ride a bicycle every day. Every day, but I don't try to kill people. I recognize that there are human beings who are walking. There are babies out there. There are dogs. No one gave me the right to try to kill someone because I have a bicycle. Where'd they get this idea they can kill you because they're on a bicycle? Answer, they've lobbied the police. They've lobbied the mayors in every major city to be intimidated by them. The Bicycle Coalition. The Bicycle Coalition has as much validity as the Homeless Coalition. Another special interest group of terrorists. ISIL on a bike. ISIL on two wheels. ISIL on a handlebar. Play some heavy metal music. I'm not in the mood to talk. Moreover, I'm not taking any calls right now. I'm not ready for it. All I want to hear is anger music, rage music. You want to call, go ahead. Get online, 855-47282. I'm not in the mood. I'm not talking. I'm not listening, rather. I'm talking today. I'm talking here. I'm mood to talk. I may talk for 5 hours after the show is over. When the mic goes dead, I may stand here and talk into the microphone. I may not sleep tonight. I may just talk into the microphone. I may take a microphone into my bed tonight and keep talking. I may filibuster this government. I may filibuster this media. I may filibuster this life. I may filibuster God. I may filibuster the fake preachers and rabbis. I don't know if I like this music. Not hot enough. Is there something hotter? Like bad bar music. Turn it. Let them. They're not getting anywhere. They're just making noise. They're just stoners. We have something that's a little more controlled and a little more got a little more tempo to it. These are like bad musicians from a garage in Syosset, Long Island. They sound like a garage band. Maybe they're famous, who knows, but I've heard this garage band stuff for years in the suburbs. It's enough to drive you crazy, these talentless stoneheads. All they do is make noise in their garage. Then they go to a bar and people applaud and they think they're famous. Next thing you know, they're on the Jimmy Fallon show. Alright, that's almost good. Almost good. I wouldn't book. If I owned a bar in San Francisco, I wouldn't book this. Alright, guys, thank you very much. Have a drink and leave. Turn them off. Guys, have a beer and leave. Thank you very much. Get back to me. We have all the beer you can drink for a dollar night. We may have you in one of those nights. You know. How do you feel about this government? How do you feel about a government run by a fraudster like Obama who's funding the rebels who we don't even know who they are? We all know the rebels are ISIS. We know there are no moderate rebels. They've either been killed by the radicals or they've been incorporated by the radicals. There are no longer the doctors and the dentists with AK-47s that McCain talks about. That lunatic! Lunatic. Where are the war crimes trials? Where are the war crimes trials? There are none. No trials, no war, no crimes. No crimes, no war, no trials. It's the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. It's Friday. Normally it's open mic to mic Friday. And you can call on any of the topics. The one I really want to talk about, are the stories I mentioned. The authorization to train Syrian terrorists with almost no opposition from the liars in Congress. By the way, they went home after 8 days in session. I swear to God. We've become like an Argentinian Congress now. The gangsters came in for 8 days. They voted on one bill, which was to authorize the liar-in-chief to authorize payment to the so-called rebels in Syria to topple Assad under the guise of toppling ISIS. And then they went home to campaign. In other words, they went home to raise money. John Boehner went home to get another case of scotch for his condo in Jacksonville. John Boehner went home to get another dose of the Sun Machine. John Boehner went home to get a refill on Mantan. Mitch McConnell went home to the turkey farm to gobble with the turkeys. There's no one left. We have no government. They've abdicated. Do you realize we have a government that's abdicated under this dictatorship? I want you to think about how profound that statement is. You keep thinking that there's a way to reach Obama. There's no way to reach him. He's a stone-hearted dictator. He does what he wants. No one has stopped him. No one has stood in his way. And waiting in the wings is Hillary Benghazi Clinton. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
To my fellow television ministers and evangelists, please forgive me for sinning against you. I have sinned against you, my Lord. And I would ask that your precious blood would wash and cleanse
he sins
every stain.
By a survival kit. Wait a minute, he sinned? And he wants you to buy an end-of-the-world biscuit? Let's hear more of him. Wait, let me... Oh, this is before we went to the can. I'm eating tacos right now and drinking an energy drink. I'm trying to focus on the show. It's almost impossible. There's no government. They've abdicated. It's not a fraud. They're not there. They've gone home. 8 days and they went home. They gave him what he needed to authorize funding ISIS, which they now call the rebels, and they went home. And that's the end of that. So we have no government. Now what? It was like a drift. The people have no leadership. We have no representation. We know we have no leadership. Where's the representation? Okay, so I can complain about it all I want. Where am I going to get for this? More enemies? Play a little heavy metal. I can't talk to anybody. I'm speechless. I feel that talk radio has become meaningless in the sense that we have no power. And I have more. I just do my anger rap, that's all. In front of a bad bar, I don't care. A bunch of stoners might be a better audience. So what do you want to talk about? It is really open mic to mic. We're being tortured to death by the lack of government. Most of us feel like we're being strangled to death. WJR, Detroit. Ray, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Ray?
Michael, I just want to say thank you for playing some angry music today because I feel just like you. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, and I tell you who I'm most angry at is the sheep out here that keep buying into this crap, keep buying into what the media is feeding them day after day. It's sickening.
Well, here's the thing. We know the media does that, but if you listen to conservative talk this week, it's all about the NFL. Why is that?
Oh, because we give them the power to do that, because we tune in and listen to that crap. You know,
why are they talking about the NFL all day long?
It's ridiculous. People, who cares about the NFL? I care about my country. I care about what I grew up knowing and seeing it disappear. I care about my child and his children growing up. Who cares about the NFL? I care about the status and the condition of our country and our freedom.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You're 100% right. I'm sending you a free copy of Stop the Civil War because I want to stop the coming Civil War. If this keeps up, that's where they're pushing us. You know why? We can't even get a secession vote. You understand when you bottle people up, they'll explode? We need a secessionist vote in America to get away from this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
To my fellow television ministers and evangelists, please forgive me for sinning against you. I have sinned against you, my Lord. And I would ask that your precious blood would wash and cleanse.
Remember his show years ago?
Every stain.
He's back. He's back. Just like Hillary's back after the shame of their administration. Hillary's been reinvented, even though everything she touched has gone up in smoke. So 20 years after his release from prison, Jim Baker is back, and he's selling survivalist kits, including end-of-the-world biscuits. The majority of the food sources appear in the form of beans, such as the $3,000 Time of Trouble tub, which contains 7,728 servings of black bean burger pouches. Others include a mixed array of end-of-the-world gravy. Now, I've gone to restaurants where they said, you got to try this gravy, it's out of the world, but this guy's selling end-of-the-world gravy, and he also offers Kevin's Crazy Lasagna in large, tightly packed containers. Let's hear him again. He's just out of the can now. This is what he's doing.
To my fellow television ministers and evangelists.
No. Isn't there a better part in this? We heard this already. That's enough
for sinning against you.
No, that's all we have.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
See, now, Hillary got up and did this, I might vote for her. If she got up and admitted that in Benghazi, she pulled out the security in order to make sure that the so-called ambassador was knocked off after he transferred the weapons to the rebels, okay. If she said, I'm sorry I sinned for that. Or if she said, I'm sorry I supported the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I really shouldn't have. But I still am entitled to your vote because I'm Hillary Clinton and I'm a woman. And just being a woman trumps being a man. I mean, that really says a lot about the woman voter, doesn't it? They vote for a woman even if no matter what she does because she's a woman. That's great. That really shows discernment and intelligence. I got to tell you that. That really says a lot for the woman vote. Because she's a woman, she deserves the vote. You hear this? Holy God, what a country. How could it have come to this? Look at the choices we're going to have. Choice between Hillary, the tub of lard from New Jersey. I guarantee you he runs. The lunatic from Arizona. The foamy mouth lunatic McCain will run. The tuba player's husband will run. Newt Gingrich, because there's a lot of money in running. You have no idea what they make in running. If you had any idea what kind of money is made just by announcing your candidacy, you would consider running. Look at the opposition to this. My God. You know, it reminds me of a thing I read in French, N'importe où dehors du monde, anywhere out of this world. I mean, if there were a space colony, I would consider going to it right now. If there was a space colony where I could sleep with the window open, I would consider it, but that's impossible. So that's out. I can't go to the space colony. You know, the old saying, but, you know, conscience doth make cowards of us all. I mean, if in the next world I could figure I could breathe in one of the two places, okay, I consider that as well, but I don't think I can breathe in the next world. Maybe I'm watching too much television with the caskets in the ground and the earth. There's a show that freaked me out the other night. His name is I'm Inspector Kendall or Kendra, and he always solves mysteries. So they had a disinter a girl, 20 years old, had been killed. And they go to some stoner's house she was last seen with, and they get a search warrant, blah, blah, blah. They pick up his waterbed, and they find 3 fingernails under the waterbed. But the problem is she's been buried. So in order to match the broken fingernails to her fingers, they got to dig her up. I don't know, man. I had a bad dream that night. The whole issue of the casket, the earth, the this, the that. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for it at all. That's why I'm playing angry music. Life is unfair when you think about it. No matter how well you do, it sucks. It's a bad deal. Think about it. It's a rotten deal. You're born. You brush your teeth. You do push-ups. You exercise. You try to avoid fatty foods. You try not to get in too much trouble sexually. You try not to hurt anybody. And at the end of the day, you get a horrible disease and die in a nursing home if you're lucky. If you're unlucky, you get hit by a bicyclist in Central Park and you have brain damage. I mean, it's a terrible deal. There's no way out of this. There's no way out of it. There's no way to win in this game. You lose no matter what you do. That's why God gave certain pleasures. Well, the Bible says the pleasures that you can have on this earth are the only things you can look forward to. Think about that one. That a man is supposed to enjoy himself on this earth. Not supposed to suffer. It says, I don't know where it is. I don't have it. I don't have the quote ready to go. I'm not Jim Baker. Then I'm going to sell you like beans in a box for $7,000. You know, I'll find the quote. Enjoy thyself. And here's the enjoy thyself bean kit for only $7,900. The whole thing is a construct. But so what are you supposed to do about all of this? I guess you could play with a dog. That's why we like our dogs, isn't it? They don't know anything about death. I mean, do they think about the... They don't fear it. That's why we love pets and children. That's why we call them innocent. You see a dog, I mean, it's like, I consider my dog like my personal hippie or beatnik. He's like a beatnik that lays around the house. Think about it. A dog is a perfect Obama voter. Doesn't have any form of employment. Does nothing. Dependent upon the government, which is us. Lays on his back. All you got to do is rub its belly and it'll lick your hand. It's very much like an Obama voter when you think about it. None thinking, no care for the future, lives in the present, and we love him anyway because we're kind people. Let's have some music. I don't know where I don't know if I want to go down this road today. I may have to shift gears to love.
Watch him become a guy.
Watch him become a guy? Watch him become a guy? It's written by a girl from San Francisco. Growing mustaches in front of our eyes. It's like a reverse of the portrait of Dorian Gray in San Francisco. The girl comes here from college, the next thing you know, she has a mustache. She's being whipped in public. Getting ready for another perverted weekend here in San Francisco. They call it a parade. You hear this? A leather parade. Nancy Pelosi approves of it. What hypocrisy. She's worse than Jim Baker. She calls herself a Catholic. She goes to the leather parade where they whip each other in the streets. She approves it with a smirk. A smile, rather. How come she doesn't wash the feet of some of the whippers? I mean, Nancy Pelosi washed the feet of illegal alien children. She could wash the feet of the fetishists. The Folsom Street Fair, you hear this? These are sick, demented individuals that in my day they'd be in a mental hospital or a prison cell. Here they're lauded as the top of the heap. Masks, whips, beating each other in the gutter, bodily parts hanging out. And Nancy Pelosi and the city mothers and fathers approve of it. You hear this? The Boy Scouts, they drive out of the city. The USS Missouri, they drive out of the city. The military bands, they drive out of the city. And these sick degenerates, they welcome to City Hall. Play the music. I have nothing else to say about that. The whole country's like an airplane filling with smoke. I feel like I'm on a jet filling with smoke and no one knows it but me. And you're running around the aisle screaming, there's smoke in the cabin! And they're looking at you like you're crazy. Say, oh, there's smoke in the cabin, idiot! And the guy's looking at you with a smile. No, no, no. The pilot, Obama, is a good pilot. He's a good pilot. co-pilot. Vayner is a good co-pilot. No, idiot, there's smoke in the cabin. Actually, he rings for the stewardess and asks for another drink. Maybe that should be the next title of my next book. There's smoke in the cabin. Steal it. Steal this title. You couldn't write it anyway. Only I could write it. See, that's why I don't worry about giving out titles on my show. No one could do what I can do. Rip it off. It's not going to be the same thing. They won't. The shoe won't fit. A lot of doctors and dentists out there who put on leather on the weekends and play in little bands in New Jersey. It sounds like a doctor band. Doesn't it have that sound of like a doctor on the weekend with a guitar? You're right. That's not bad. Bloody Scrubs. A surgical band, Bloody Scrubs. Very funny, Neil. They get on the stage. They look tough. They look mean. They look like they're different than you. They put the makeup on the eyes. They're skanky looking. They're skinny, whatever. And then at the end of the day, after the sex, after the alcohol, after the drugs wear off, what do you got left? You got a guy with mascara running down his face. A pile of flesh with mascara running down his face. Oh, my God. And then, so you go to the other side. You go to the clean people, the good people, the religious people, and you wind up with religious fraud. I don't know. It's cynicism. Cynicism is in my blood today. It's all cynical. It's all cynical. The whole thing is no good. It's no good. It's no good. It's rotten to the core. The government has abdicated. There's a false king in the White House. And I'm playing this music for you. No more love music. No more love music in this country. No more love music. If you care to join the program, it's too bad. There's no way to get on because every line is sold out. What would you like to talk about? KSFO, James, welcome to the Savage Nation, James.
Dr. Savage, first I'd like to say thank you for playing Slayer at the beginning of the show. As soon as I heard that, I knew it was going to be a good show. We have some anger going on out there, and you're hitting it. It's right. We're tired of sitting here watching what's happening to our country. You know, our soldiers, they play that music to go kill the enemy with. And I think Obama, what he wants them to do is start playing Yanni or something.
Yeah, right. They take the crosses off the war memorials. They can't pray to Jesus. They have no outlets for their hatred and rage for the Muslim terrorists. They can't say they're Muslim terrorists.
Yep.
And maybe they should play Mantovani music for the soldiers before they go into battle. Some approved music from the Democrat National Socialist Islamist Committee. James, are you a former military guy?
No, I'm not, but I have a lot of military friends.
Well, let me tell you, we're all going to be military if this keeps up. That's what worries me. See, this is what worries me. They're going to turn all of us. They're going to militarize all of us. We can't take it anymore. We have no outlet. We have no government, no representation. We have a government that's abdicated to this man in the White House, and we don't know which way to turn. In Scotland, at least the fools thought they had a vote to secede from England. Okay, whether it was fraud or not, at least they had hope for a moment. Do you have any hope that you could secede from Obama's domination?
Absolutely not.
No, there is none. There is none. There's no chance to secede from this liberal cretinism that has paralyzed this nation's decency. And I stand by those words. And waiting in the wings, none other than Hillary and Bill Clinton again. You hear this? Can you believe this is the best America can do? No. I'm sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. Maybe we can all join together in some rallies and say enough is enough. And you're not going to push us into an insurrection. We're going to stop it together. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it can. Maybe it can't. Maybe it can. Maybe it can't. Can't. But, you know, my analogy of I'm flying in a jet plane. There are prop planes left. And it's got 400 passengers or so on it. Big plane. The cabin's filled with smoke. And I'm the only one who sees the smoke. And I'm running down the aisle screaming, there's smoke in the cabin. And you look at all the faces, and they're like robots. They're robotic. They're waiting to get to the golf course when the plane lands. You say, you try to shake them in the seats. The plane has smoke in the cabin. And you're shaking the guy next to you. And he looks at you with blue eyes and looks at you dumbly, like you're crazy. And down comes the aisle, comes big, fat women, mean-faced, clipped hair, with handcuffs in their hands. That's what I feel like I'm living in. Mean-faced, clipped-haired women controlling anyone who sees the smoke in the cabin. Am I wrong? Am I the only one who sees this? I mean, you're going to call and say, sure, I see it too. What good is that? You're outraged, you call Congress? You must be kidding me. What Congress? They may as well you may as well call anyone in Congress and you get a busy signal. Well, saying, sorry, Congressman X is no longer available to you. Please send your message to the ocean. Put your message in a bottle and drop it in the nearest body of water. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Love is over. Love is dead. Playing rage music. If you're over 40, I apologize. Here's a little story for you. So people go to the gym to work out their hostilities, right? That's usually they work out, pump iron, this and that. South SF gym member kills another with a bar, police say. Dateline San Francisco. Member of South San Francisco gym is arrested on suspicion of killing another gym member with a steel bar. Kenneth Osako, 46, of South San Francisco, was being held out bail, blah, blah, with the slaying at Bally Total Fitness. The victim wasn't released, blah, blah, blah. The attack happened about 9:30 p.m. when Osako got into a confrontation with the victim and, quote, used a solid steel bar, normally used to lift weights, to strike the victim on his head several times, police said. After the attack, Osako, who works as a plumber, dropped the bar and left the scene. Later arrested, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, and a special agent with the Department of Homeland Security. When did they become cops all of a sudden? Well, they arrest the guy who hit him with a bar. What has Homeland Security got with this case? This is a local police case. What is a federal agency doing arresting a plumber who hit a guy in the head with a pipe? They should be arresting the illegal aliens who are coming over the border. Felipe Mendez, who works the gym's front door, said a maintenance worker had seen the victim talking to a woman shortly before the attack. Uh-huh. I think he saw the other guy talking to her, flirting with her, and I think he got really angry. Came up from behind, hit him in the head with a bar we use for tricep dips. Worker said the suspect gets jealous a lot. Both Osako and the victim are longtime members of the gym, blah, 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 blah. Again. All right, that's that. Watch out in the gym now for a plumber. Remember the plumbers waded into the anti-war demonstrators in the 60s? That's the last time I liked plumbers. Remember they stopped the left-wing scum with long hair on Wall Street? They gave them a beating with pipes. Now they're rioting on the other side. The unions have become the other side now. Go figure that one out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I am so ready for the weekend. And I'm getting ready for the weekend. I'm getting ready for the weekend. Getting ready for the weekend. Where's the preacher? I need
the
angry preacher.
Inside of me was one little word floating around. Pookie poo. Pookie poo, and I thought, God, if I say pookie poo, I'll be destroyed. It'll be the end of my life if I end this. Everybody say, come on, man, turn it loose. Come on, you can do it. And I'm thinking, pookie poo, I can't say that. And finally, I just said, a pookie poo. He's got it, he's got it. And I mean, the whole crowd went
this
wild.
This is what's coming Sunday
all
across
said,
America.
Very unusual.
Right, no wonder there's so many Muslims in America now. At least have focus. They're not told to buy, like, canned beans for $7,000. I mean, think about this. You have so many fake preachers out there selling such rubbish. You got churches without crosses in them. The guy makes $40 million a year, doesn't know the Bible. It's a religious, it doesn't know what it is. Then you got the rabbis in the Reformed temples. No one knows what they're talking about. They never mention God in the Reformed temples. If you say God, they say, hey, God, don't say God. That's what goes on in Jewish Reform temples. They've denuded God from the temples. Say, but what about what God said? Don't you, oh God, don't say God. You might offend somebody in here, the atheists amongst us. So people don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do in this country. There's no outlet. The political system is dead. They've abdicated. There's no media. You can't write a letter to the editor. So you call a radio show. You feel better. And that's why I give you the number, 855-407-2832. You read the literature. You order the George Washington false teeth to put on at night. You buy the outfit, the Thomas Jefferson outfit. You know, I mean, I don't know if you reenact the Civil War with the muskets and the black powder guns. I don't know what people do to get it out of their system. They go to the gym and they watch a guy beat someone up with a gym bar now. There's nowhere to go anymore. There's nowhere to go. Maybe there never was any place to go to get your energy out. That's why there's so much rampant sex and drug use. So people don't know which way to turn, so they take it out. Oh, all right, so that's what humans do. That's what you. What's this Wall Street billions for this guy from China? He's an ugly-looking dude, like something weird about his face. I don't know what Baba is, Alibaba. What is this? Neil, what is Alibaba that's making billions of dollars? Who is this guy? Is this Chinese guy named Alibaba? Or is this organization? I don't know what it is. It's a company, big deal. Big deal. I don't like his look. There's something bizarre about him. He made too much money too fast. There's like an evil about him. In my opinion, I'm just looking. I don't like the face. Maybe he could run as a Democrat now that I think about it. He could be a perfect candidate for the Democrat Party. Anyway, he could just join the Democrat Party USA, Democrat Socialist Islamist Chinese Communist Party USA. Remember that big scream in the 80s? We used to get 90s were so angry about the Panama Canal. Whatever happened to that? NAFTA. Remember all the arguments we had? NAFTA, stop. Pat Buchanan, stop NAFTA, stop NAFTA, stop CRAFTA, stop CATAFA, stop WHO. All those campaigns that we thought would have an effect, nothing. Zero. We've affected nothing. Zilch. Ghana. Nothing. Nada. Remember, stop NAFTA. Stop the Chinese from buying the Panama Canal. Nothing happened. We had NAFTA. We're being overrun by illegal aliens. The country's bankrupt. We have a fraud in the White House. We have an abdicated Congress. So, well, who's worried about NAFTA now and WHO? The World Trade Organization. The WTO, sorry. Remember we were afraid that NAFTA would bankrupt us? How foolish we were. Yeah, all right. Go look at the factories in Mexico now. Yeah, we were idiots. Remember we were worried about the WTO? Oh, yeah, that was really stupid. Oh, yeah, now the Chinese are eating us for breakfast. If one of our manufacturers dares try to take them to court, you know what happens, don't you? What is this guy, Alibaba? I don't like guys with pixie haircuts. I know it's the eBay of China, but the thing is, I don't like guys with pixie haircuts. I don't trust them. Any guy who has a pixie haircut with a forward comb and a cut and like a puppet face, communist dazzle Wall Street, Xinhua, IPO to end U.S. dominance in tech sector, overtakes Amazon and Facebook, most lucrative debut in stock market history, company rating major Hollywood assault, we got to Trump, blah, blah, blah. Also, there's a new guy that's on the Drudge Report. I don't know. He's a creepy-looking guy. I don't know what he sells. What is it? What is his store? Xinhua? That's the name of the company, Xinhua, or is that a newspaper? I'm supposed to be an expert now on Chinese words. Alibaba surges in New York trading debut after U.S. IPO. Chinese company shares rose 38% to $94 in New York after the IPO was priced at $68. The e-commerce company, which started in 1999 with $60,000 cobbled together by founder Jack Ma, is now valued at $231 billion. That makes it larger than Amazon.com, Inc., and eBay, Inc., combined and more valuable than all but nine companies are Standard & Poor's 500 index. Ma, a former English teacher who started a company in his Hangzhou apartment, blah, 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 concerning e-commerce, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. I'm supposed to have a comment on that? I don't care about his company. Good luck to him. What, I'm supposed to sit here and cheer for the American versions of that? What do I care about them? They're all liberals. I'm going to sit here and cheer for Amazon. I'm going to cheer for Facebook. Zuckerberg. What do I care about Zuckerberg? As far as I'm concerned, he should work in a stockroom. Zuckerberg looks like the kind of kid who always worked in a stockroom, but if it was not for his father, he'd be working in a cardboard carton factory. Jack Ma inspired by hero Forrest Gump. Looks like a Chinese Forrest Gump. What's this now? NFL. No NFL. I don't want to see the letters. NFL are off. Christie launches comeback Trump praises. Got primary organizers cheer. Oh, God. Oh, God. Super Rich and Rush to Buy Gold bars. That's good. That's at least that's something I can sink my teeth into in a figurative way. Super Rich Rush to Buy Italian Job style gold bars. 12.5 kilogram gold bars worth about 300,000 pounds each. What are they going to do with those bars? I have gold somewhere. Not in my house. And Swiss America is my number one sponsor. I mean, I do believe in gold, but big bars, I'm not so sure about them. See, most people buy these giant bars, store them in banks. That really makes sense, doesn't it? Like when you need it, you have to go to the bank and get them. That's really going to work. These gold bars are usually stored in the vaults of central banks, and they're the same ones you see in the film The Italian Job. 12.5 kilogram gold bars, 30 pounds. Pure gold worth more than $1,223 an ounce. It's up and down. Why do the rich want large bars? I think small coins would be better, by the way. You could trade them. You could like, trade them for wheat or beans, ammo, water. You have a bar that's worth like $300,000. You can't trade that at a supermarket or like a strip mall. Let's say it all comes down. I got it all set up. I got a house now. I put in the windmill. No, I got the whole thing. It's all set up. The generator runs off gas. It has its own reservoir. Got ammo. I got the food. I had an advertiser. I don't know if they advertise anymore. I got loads of it in the closet. Got the cameras in there. The only thing I don't have are like the dogs. I need those dogs from Russia, from the Ukraine. I mean, from Siberia. Those are amazing animals. I was thinking of getting a few, but I'm afraid they'll turn on me and kill me in my sleep. That's the thing about killer dogs. They say, yeah, they're loyal to the master. How do you know? What do you mean they're loyal to the master? They train them in Russia. The ex-KGB guards have a whole farm somewhere in Siberia. They train these killer German shepherds. That's ironic when you think about it, given the history of the Nazis versus the Russians. But nevertheless, the Russians use the German shepherd, big timber shepherds, and they train them. It's like if you have a daughter or something, it'll protect the child and tear people's like lungs out if it looks at your daughter the wrong way. That's good to have a dog like that, but what if it makes a mistake? What if the dog gets old and gets a little Dogheimer's? What are you going to do then? It mistakes you for like someone else's shoe and rips your foot off. That's why I have a poodle. If it gets crazy, I pick him up by the neck and tell him to stop. No, I had a big dog when I was a kid. It almost tore my leg off. I don't like big dogs for that reason. I got a friend in the neighborhood has a Rottweiler. This thing is so big. I feel like I'm in a hunted, like in a Roman arena every time he walks it. It like pants. Like it has asthma with the tongue hanging out. Pulls this poor guy around the street. He's got a thing on its neck like a chain. It looks like, I feel like Victor Mature in like the slaying of the dragon or something. The dog is murderously big. And I walk and talk to the neighbor sometimes. And the dog's always eyeing me from the left eye. So I push my bicycle along. So I make sure the bicycle is between me and the dog and the guy. And I said, will you please put the dog on the right side? You stand there and I'll have the bicycle between me and you. This dog's always eyeing me. As we're walking, the tongue is out. Pulling the guy down the street. Guy needs roller skates for this dog. I worry about a dog like that. I had one half that size that tore up my leg open to the bone. Not a pretty sight to look at your own bone in your foot when you're 11 years old. Not complaining. Not a big deal. Not like an Iraq military veteran with an IED. Don't get me wrong. Not glorifying. Not magnifying. Not making it bigger than it is. But when you're 9 and your foot's bleeding and your bone is sticking out from your pet, it kind of sinks in like, hello, don't trust dogs. But I've had a dog my whole life as a result. But they're dogs I can control. They're always like a mini, now that I think about it. No, I was traumatized, now that I think about it, by that chow. So the dog I have now is a toy poodle. He can get vicious, don't get me wrong. If he's sleeping on his back, let's say, he's a nice dog, very well-tempered. But if he's, let's say, sleeping on his back and snoring, and they do snore, they're funny. I love when dogs snore. It's so human, it's unbelievable. They're like adenoids. To take him to a Jewish doctor in the Bronx. My dog has adenoids. Dog lies on his back, and he's breathing, whatever, he's sleeping. If you approach him from the wrong side and touch him the wrong way, he could tear your hand off. There is an adage. No, it says, let sleeping dogs lie. And it's you leave a sleeping dog, you touch it like delicately. You talk to it first. So you got to approach it like it's a king and you're a servant coming into the royal chamber. Let's say you want to take the dog out for a last minute pee before you go to sleep because you don't want it on the floor. But it's sleeping and it's backwards and it's on its back. You know, if you touch it, it could rip your thumb off. So you got to talk to it like he's the master and you're the dog. So you have to approach slowly from a distance, say, Teddy, Teddy, you want to go out? And like, and it looks up like a king at you, you know, like the eyes open slowly. Teddy, would you like to go? Then you have to like touch it very slowly, every step of the way, fearing it could rip your like rip your wrist open. You got like a jugular vein could be ripped out. All right, but that's how you, so you get to know a dog. That's okay, fine. But when they get old, they can get confused. An older dog can get like a person. The brain starts to go. They may not know who you are. So if you get one of those Siberian German shepherds to protect you in the event it all comes down with the canned wheat and the reservoirs, I said, you may have in your backyard to hunt those deer and kill those evil whatever. What if your dog lives so long that it gets Dogheimer's? What are you going to do then? I was thinking about that. So now the ancient Chinese had this down, the whole dog protection thing. They were always ahead of everybody. They didn't use big dogs in the royal chamber. Very smart. Because they knew that if it got out of control, it could kill them. They always understood that. Instead, like where the queen was, or the princess, they had like 12 Lhasa Apso. Little yappers with like little braids on their head. Sleeping next to the woman in the bed. It was really not to protect her, it was to keep the husband away. But all right, that's another story. When the husband would come into the bedroom, he would say to her, dear, may I approach the bench? I mean, that's what he had to do. So the dogs were used by the woman to keep the husband away, I would suspect, because they were no good, those guys. I mean, the guy had women all over the palace. He had 35 wives in the house. So you figure the wife doesn't want him to touch her. So she got 16 Lhasa Apsus to bark and scream and yell. I'll be right back.
Barack Hussein Obama got y'all in a trance. Not even Jesus is as popular as Barack is. The Pope was here in April, and he only got a few people, but Barack gets everybody. Well, let me repeat that. He gets all of y'all. There's one man standing. He's James David Manning, and I'm not going to bow down. All Barack Hussein Obama needs is a mustache. That's all he needs, and an outstretched right arm. And we are...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Good music. Angry Friday on the Savage Nation. It's Rageful Friday on the Savage Nation. It's not out of me yet. I don't know how much longer until I'm just spent. I'm not ready to do a show. Filibuster the airwaves. Filibuster Congress. Filibuster the press. Filibuster the president. Filibuster the fake Republicans, the fake preachers. Filibuster the fake fakes. Rage against the, whatever, fill in the blank. America's so close to an explosion. I say we have less freedom in this country than any nation in the West. The Scots, for whatever they are and aren't, Haggis and all, at least they had a stooge vote on secession. Remember, we had a civil war because the South wanted to secede from the Union. Most of you don't even remember what the Civil War was about, even if you remember the Civil War vaguely. It was about secession. South wanted to secede from the Union for whatever the reasons were. Some was the slave issue. Some was the economic issue of the North depriving the South of revenue. There were all sorts of issues. It was not a singular issue as it has been, history's been rewritten. But the fact of the matter is Lincoln was a dictator. Now, there are those who have glorified him and turned into what he was not. And here's the danger about Lincoln the dictator. He is one of Obama's mentors, and I've been trying to warn you, watch out. Obama has stated some of his mentors have included Franklin Delano Roosevelt, another dictator, and then Lincoln. I want to remind you of the dangers that Lincoln poses for us as a mentor of Obama. And one of those is, there's so much I have to say. It's all in Stop the Coming Civil War with annotations and documentation. And there are those who are, denying what Lincoln really was. For whatever their reasons are, I don't know the reasons. I don't know why they would have to airbrush Lincoln. He was not only a flawed man, he was an evil man. That is not to say he did not do good. But he had pure evil in some cases. You have to understand that. It's all spelled out in Stop the Coming Civil War, which I'll talk about when I get back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Murderers day in and day out. Murderers in this town right now would blow your brains out for enough money for fix-it crack cocaine. It's never crossed their murdering mind that they're going to burn in hell. They've never thought the fact that they're going to burn one day in hell. We've gotten to the point now where it's just simply passe. It doesn't matter anymore. There's no meaning to anything. Whatever you feel good about doing, do it.
Yeah, go tell it to him.
I am the passenger on a plane, and I'm screaming there's smoke in the cabin, and most of you are sitting there asleep ordering another glass of cheap wine. And most of you don't understand the danger we're really in. When you have a man like this in the White House, who with impunity breaks the law, makes the law, any law he wants he makes up, violates the Constitution, what does it mean for your freedom and our way of life? That he can violate our immigration laws, that he can override the Border Patrol, that he can encourage illegal aliens to cross the southern border. What does it mean that he can weaken our position with Russia, China, and in the Middle East with impunity? What does it mean that this administration can have those falsify the records in the Veterans Administration in order to cover up the horrible neglect of our brave soldiers? What does it mean that he has purged so many of our top military commanders, thrown out, dismissed, retired, after years of brave service? What does it mean? It means that the best is yet to come, meaning the worst is yet to come. And what I told you before the break is that one of Obama's mentors was Abraham Lincoln. Now let's start with Lincoln did great things. He freed the slaves. Not insignificant, extremely significant. But let's look at how he acted otherwise. And this is, some of this is in Stop the Coming Civil War and all documented. Some of it has been removed. I had a big fight with my publisher over some of this. Not because it was false, but they were afraid that people would think the wrong thing about me if I dared even tell you the truth about Lincoln. And the only reason I'm telling you about Lincoln is because Lincoln is one of Obama's mentors. So let's start with these facts. In an 1862 proclamation, Abraham Lincoln declared that, quote, rebels and insurgents had created an insurrection, and they were now subject to martial law, and their right to a writ of habeas corpus was suspended. What is to prevent Obama from doing that when we have no Congress to stop him? Under the rights he granted himself in the 1862 proclamation, does it sound familiar? The rights he granted to himself in the 1862 proclamation, Abe Lincoln violated American civil rights with impunity. He is estimated to have arrested and imprisoned some 20,000 civilians and detained them without trials. And that's when the population of America was much, much smaller than it is now. Let me repeat that. Under the rights he granted himself in the 1862 proclamation, Lincoln then violated American civil rights with impunity. He is estimated to have arrested and imprisoned some 20,000 civilians and detained them without trials. And that's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War, because if Lincoln could get away with it, and Lincoln being Obama's mentor, what is to stop this administration from doing the very same thing to us? Further, when a Kentucky citizen, Hannibal Hamlin Breckinridge, criticized Lincoln for his division of the nation and for dividing the country towards civil war, his criticism was censored by the president, and the Associated Press was banned from printing his remarks. Now, today, the Associated Press does not have to be banned from printing any remarks that, let's say, offend Obama. They work for him. They may as well work for him. They putatively are a government media complex outlet. Further, during the Civil War, Abe Lincoln kept Southern prisoners of war in internment camps under deplorable conditions. At Fort Delaware, more than 2,000 Confederate soldiers died of scurvy and dysentery in a camp plagued by filth and vermin. What are the other passages about Lincoln that remain and stop the coming Civil War? How about Sherman's March? Do you know anything about that? In early of September 1864, the city of Atlanta surrendered to the Union's Major General William Sherman. Some 14,000 residents, mostly older men, women, and children, watched helplessly as Sherman's troops burned the great southern city to the ground. Only 10% of Atlanta's buildings escaped the inferno. Did you hear this? Lincoln's reelection came on the wings of Sherman's so-called glorious victory. Sherman's march may have been the most unholy act perpetrated on the American people by one of its own. But when voices rose in outrage, even some from the North. Lincoln not only turned a deaf ear, he ordered the censoring of news stories, to which a compliant Associated Press acquiesced. That's just the beginning of all the facts that you need to know in Stop the Coming Civil War. I take this extremely seriously. I see the handwriting on the wall. I smell the smoke in the cabin of the plane. I smell it, I see it, I feel it. It's a visceral thing for me. And there still is time for us to do something about it. You know what that is. You know what you have to do. And I'll leave it at that. Just remember what I said. I didn't say start the coming civil war. I said stop the coming civil war. And you're going to hear a lot more about this after October 6th, because the book will not be in the stores until October 7th. But I'm warning you. I'm getting you ready for it. Because if Lincoln is Obama's mentor, as he is, remember the early days of his administration when he told us that, we can expect the worst, not the best from him. And that's why I tell you we're in great trouble right now on the Savage Nation. We have almost nowhere to turn. Who represents us? Who represents us? Who was our representatives? There are a few. Ted Cruz would be a great representative for us. But I don't know that he can beat Hillary, not with the biased press and the smear campaign that's already going on. November 10th, 1862. Here's what President Lincoln wrote to Major General John Pope, now on duty in Minnesota. These are Lincoln's words. "Your dispatch giving the names of 300 Indians condemned to death is received," Lincoln wrote. "Please forward as soon as possible the full and complete records of these convictions." What was this about? Lincoln is dealing with the aftermath of a Sioux Indian uprising that occurred from mid-August through September, in which several hundred white Minnesotans were killed. Why did they kill the white Minnesotans? You don't know the other side of the story. The Sioux Indians had been driven to a narrow strip of land in south-central Minnesota and forbidden to hunt. The Indians had also been deprived of promised government food and supplies by unscrupulous whites who reportedly said hungry Indians should, quote, eat grass or their own dung. After the fighting stopped, a military tribunal sentenced 303 Sioux to die by hanging and expected quick authorization for the executions from the commander-in-chief. There's Lincoln, the other side of Lincoln. Why do I do it? To smear Lincoln? No, to warn you about Obama. Because if Lincoln, who was his mentor, could get away with things like this, I'm warning you that there's smoke in the cabin. 855-407-2828. I don't know my own number. I can't remember it anymore. My mind is not thinking in terms of numbers. My numerology is off. I have plenty of calls, so let's take some of the callers right now. Thomas on WABC, go ahead, please.
Michael, I really think it would be great when you're having your Yazidis and meatball tonight. It would be great mental health to put on the official video for AC/DC Thunderstruck. I'd love to see us rain down thousands of Hellfire missiles on ISIS, and we can all get pumped up to realize if we pray hard enough, air power is still...
Yeah, why are we not raining missiles? Why are we not shooting Tomahawk missiles at them every time they give one of their fiery, hateful Islamist speeches? Every time one of those lousy, fat pieces of garbage get up there and scream about death to America, they could knock them off in 2 seconds. Why don't they?
Because the Tomahawk might be a little bit too powerful, Michael. I think we can take...
No, that's not the reason. It's because Obama doesn't want them dead. It's that simple. He's even acknowledged he will not take out the leadership of ISIS. So what does that tell us?
All right, let's fire off some Tomahawks. Go for it, Savage.
Oh, we're going to fire off Tomahawks? We can't fire off a rubber band. Thanks for the call. You know what I'm in the mood for? Some of that Irish music out of Boston. The Slayer, whatever that is, the Kick the Ball Down the Road Irishman. I like that song a lot. 855-407-2822. I wonder when Ireland's going to want to secede from England. That would be a nice thing if we could see that when they paint their faces again. Imagine that would scare all the panty waists of 10 Downing Street if they saw the Irish revert back to their warrior selves with paint on their on their faces. I mean, it's unbelievable to me what they've done to England with their guise of multiculturalism. Multiculturalism was never meant well. Multiculturalism was never meant for the reasons that were stated. Multiculturalism was meant to diminish the white population by the white leaders who sold their own people down the drain. Don't ever for 1 minute think they did it out of any noble reasoning. Multiculturalism has always been used to diminish the predominant culture both in England and in the United States of America. And take a look at your country today. Is it a better country? Is it a kinder country? Is it a safer country? We're living in a police state. That's what we're living in, a police state. There's a police state, but we can't secede from the Union because there's no separation within this nation. There's no region. There's no separation. There's no area. It's not like Scotland and England. And they did it on purpose. That's where they're moving welfare bums into your neighborhood. That's what Section 8 housing was all about. You understand how this works? It's by design, not by accident. Plane's on fire! Moron, stop playing golf! Idiot! Idiot! Man lives his whole life to play golf. That's some sin qua non of his existence. Wars, plagues, revolution, Middle Ages, smallpox, black death, so he can play golf. You hear?
Hey, I need to go out in front of people. I need to smell the beer on the floor. I need to see people throwing themselves at me. I need to see people throwing themselves at each other. I need to see people throwing drinks at the microphone. Is there anywhere you want to go tonight in the Bay Area? I'll be there. Impossible. It's a fantasy. It's better on radio. Safer. Tonight, the microphone goes dead and there's nowhere to go. I'm gone and the whole world becomes silent. When I stop talking, the world of silence ensues. You feel like pulling your brain out of your head. You ever get that feeling that you can't take your own brain anymore? Because in one more minute, your own brain's going to start oozing out of your eyes. I'm giving you a little bit of imagery. Neil's laughing. Neil, that's good imagery, is it not? It's almost Dali-esque in reverse. Well, a Dali image would be the brain outside the body on the ground with the man stepping on the brain. The man stepping on his own brain. The brain oozes out of his eye, falls on the ground, and the man steps on his brain and squishes the dura mater. And he finds out there was nothing there anyway. He squishes it, and cockroaches come out of the dura mater. You know, that would be a good YouTube video set to the proper music. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So you may think this is all shtick and just a show, and that my anger is staged, and it's not based upon reality. Well, let me read you a poll. And this is from Reuters, as left-wing as they get. Angry with Washington, 1 in 4 Americans are open to secession. The failed Scottish vote to pull out from the United Kingdom stirred secessionist hopes for some in the United States, where almost a quarter of people are open to their states leaving the Union, a new Reuters Ipsos poll found. They strongly supported a tender support the idea of their state breaking away. Did you hear this? The urge to sever ties with Washington cuts across party lines and regions. Though Republicans and residents of rural western states are generally warmer to the idea than Democrats and Northeasterners, according to the poll. So if you think that my finger is not on the pulse, you're mistaken. Now, before you permit my enemies and the enemies of the truth to smear me by what I've told you about Lincoln today, and believe me, they will smear, I want to read you the last paragraphs of Stop the Coming Civil War. Well, a few of them anyway. I said I began this book by expressing my fear of a war between Americans orchestrated by Barack Obama. Although I sought to draw a parallel between our 16th and 44th presidents, it was not my intention to desecrate Abraham Lincoln or what he has come to represent. Though I vehemently disagree with his centralized government policies, Lincoln owns a worthy place in the tapestry of our great republic. Are you ready? And anyhow, the comparisons between Lincoln and Obama are not originally mine. They belong to Obama himself. If you feel the need to comment derisively about how I handle Lincoln's legacy in Stop the Coming Civil War, call the White House, because that's where your anger should be directed. The truth is, Obama doesn't come close to being the man Lincoln was. Maybe the biggest difference between Obama and Lincoln is their oratorical talent. Given the chance, Obama would use all the syllables in the dictionary in a single speech, where Lincoln was a master of the economy of words. And I go on. And he spoke very, very succinctly. And then I wrote, though I fear the worst, I have also the greatest faith in the patriotic resolve in America. And I am talking to you, those of you, the 20% of Americans identifying yourselves as members of the Tea Party. Another 42% of you define yourself as independent. The entire future of America depends upon you. If you're going to fall for the malarkey that Hillary Clinton is the best option because she's a woman, then you don't deserve a nation. If, on the other hand, you fall for the malarkey that one of the candidates picked by John Boehner is the best option for America because he's balanced and fair, then you don't deserve a nation either. You deserve everything you have and worse. And that's why I say to you, be very cautious come this November. We're only a few weeks away from the launch of my, I would say, a game-changing book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I know it's going to be a huge book. It's not about it being a huge book. It's about changing the course of this nation's destiny. That's what I want to happen. And I need armies of you to take it to work, bring it to church, put it on a table at work, put it on a table at home and start a discussion group. Because you have to talk about what I'm talking about. If one in four Americans want to secede from the Union, according to this liberal pollster, then the number is probably closer to 40% would like to secede as a result of the most divisive, demonic leadership we've ever seen in this country. Running infected illegal aliens into America, exposing our troops to Ebola. There's not a thing this man does that makes sense, except from his perspective. It makes very good sense indeed. It's been fun. Another big hour across America. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So a new poll comes out, not from a right-wing organization, but from Reuters. And the poll is from Reuters Ipsos, which is about internationalist as you can get. And even they, this false poll, says that one in four Americans are open to secession. So given that we know it's a biased poll, Reuters Ipsos, you look up Ipsos, you'll see what I'm talking about. I was the first one to point out who they are. They say that 23.9% of Americans polled from August 23rd through September 16th said they strongly supported or tended to support the idea of their state breaking away from the federal government. And this urge to sever ties with Washington cuts across party lines and regions, though Republicans and residents of rural western states are generally warmer to the idea than Democrats. Then they go into why people want to secede, and they already cover up for Obama immediately. See, they're tapping into the anger, and then they're co-opting it. That's the way the liberals work. Don't ever underestimate your enemy. They tell you what you feel, and they tell you why you feel it, which is not why you feel it. So then they write this. It says, anger with President Barack Obama's handling of issues ranging from health care reform to the rise of Islamic State militants drives some of the feeling, with Republican respondents citing dissatisfaction with his administration as coloring their thinking. But others said long-running Washington gridlock, now it's a cover-up, had prompted them to wonder if their states would be better off striking out on their own, a move no U.S. state has tried in the 150 years since the bloody Civil War that led to the end of slavery in the South. Now, you got to say that here I sit, a commentator, a broadcaster, an entertainer, a writer, a poet, a pauper. My whole life, I've been a thinker since I'm a little kid. I was always a guy who wanted to get behind things, and even as a little child. They warned me. They thought there was something wrong with me because I was always worried too much about the world. And so going back to when I was 5 years old in the streets of the Bronx, I remember to this day, as clearly as I'm talking to you today in front of this microphone, they had just dropped the atomic bomb. The first atomic bomb was dropped. I was a little kid. I must have been 3 years old. I couldn't have been older than three. First one was dropped in 45. I was 3 years old. And there was a picture of it on the front page of one of the news, Daily News. And it was blowing around in the streets. Just blowing around in the streets. I picked up the paper, and I started running up and down the streets screaming, the world is coming to an end. The world is coming to an end. 3 years old, 4 years old. So now these people, that my parents and the people around them, were uneducated in the sense of never having gone to college. It doesn't mean they were stupid. They were immigrants. They were smart enough to have been immigrants and smart enough to work hard and smart enough not to take welfare. No one could pull the wool over their eyes. But they thought there was something wrong with this little kid. Maybe there is something wrong with me. But it's been many years, and I've never been committed to an institution, nor have I ever done anything which would warrant that, other than tell you what I see is going on and write about it through 29 books or so and earn degrees and do various things to try and correct the craziness of this earth. I did the best I could. And now I wake up, and about a year and a half ago, I start writing a book called Stop the Coming Civil War. So when I first started it, the publisher was leery. You know, everyone was afraid of the word civil war because they thought, oh, it's, you know, whatever. Now I read that 24%, which means it's closer to 40, 45%, if it was a legitimate poll, would like to secede from what Obama's done to this country. Make no mistake about it, it's he who's done it. Don't blame it on other things. It's because he is the most divisive, demonic president in American history. I'm not making it up. It's not rhetoric. And I don't have to give you a list of it all. We've talked about it. We know what he's done. We know what he's doing. We know what he's liable to do. The most recent acts that he has done are crimes against humanity. If you bring 100,000 infected children into a nation, and then you disseminate them to schools around America, and then there's a, quote, mystery flu appearing in these schools, and he's infecting children because of what he did, because of his policies, what is that, an act of love? In history, if you go back, there were times that the Mongols, when they were sieging a city, would take infected bodies and shoot them by catapult over the walls into the city to infect the population on the other side of the wall. But we don't need catapults anymore. We only need Barack Obama and the Department of Homeland Security to fly them around America. They don't have to catapult them over the walls. He brought them to your schools. So now this illness, the Honduran flu, is spreading across America. Now, why do I know for sure, or why do I suspect, rather, that this flu outbreak is different than others, and that it may be related, if not 100% sure that it's related, to the children, the unaccompanied children, that Pelosi, Obama, Reid, and the Democrat machine brought into this country in order to change the demographics of America forever. Why do I suspect that? Because the strain of this flu, of this virus, is identical to that is endemic in the regions from which these children came. And yet, here I stand before you on this microphone speaking to a large audience. Not one public health official in America will even ask the question. Debate me. Prove me wrong. Tell me I'm wrong and prove I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. But debate me. They won't even raise the question. The press won't ask it. The medical establishment won't ask it. So it's left to me to ask the question. So you say, well, why would he do a thing like that? Well, I don't think he intentionally brought children in with diseases, but we were telling you on this program when they were arriving that the Border Patrol was reporting that they were coming down with scabies. They were coming down with a strange flu-like illness. Some of them were becoming infected with tuberculosis. Those are the Border Patrol agents, our first line of defense. They warned us. They were the white blood cells, and they were getting sick. And this evil, corrupt federal government kept bringing them in anyway. And then to make matters worse, they let them on airplanes without any screening, and they took them around America, and they won't tell you which cities they put them in. But we know that there's an outbreak of tuberculosis in Lynn, Massachusetts. And we also know that a large population of these illegally brought in children, many of whom were infected with TB, were dumped in Lynn, Massachusetts. We know that because the people said no, not here. But because they're basically poor and white and have no voice, the government said, go to hell, we'll dump them where we want. They now have a resurgence of tuberculosis, which was once annihilated in America. So we have third world diseases being brought upon us, not by the Mongols throwing corpses over the city walls, but by the wonderful geniuses in the White House who are doing it to us openly without any opposition from the Republican Party or from the press or from the medical establishment. So let me go back to the beginning of this monologue that I'm giving you. I'm not reading any notes. I'm just speaking to you. Speaking to you one from the heart. So I'm 5 years old. I run down the street screaming, the world is coming to an end because I saw the atomic bomb and it scared this little kid. Well, thank God the world hasn't come to an end yet. But about a year and a half ago, I start writing this book. I say it's going to be my last nonfiction political book. I will never do another one. I can't do it. I cannot do this anymore. It may be a book about dogs or cars or meatballs. I don't know if I ever do another book. Or certainly a book of my journals. I want to do that. That's about it. So I look at the book, and now it's coming out on the brink of... it's coming out in about 2 weeks, October 7th. The title is Stop the Coming Civil War. And what is it about? It's about the fact that I fear this government will do things to provoke insurrection in America. And why would they do such a thing? But they've been trying to do it right now, but you haven't done anything. But you shouldn't do. But they're trying their best to anger you, to make you revolt and react. They literally want you to revolt against them, which you must not do. You must not take their bait. This is my warning. You must not react to them because they want you to react so they can crack down on you. So they can turn you into Timothy McVeigh. So they can turn you into Timothy McVeigh and steal all of your rights, starting with your guns. And you say, oh, that's just rubbish. They're not going to do that. Would you believe this government would bring infected children into the country? They did that. Would you believe they would send 3,000 U.S. troops into a hot Ebola zone without talking about the risks to the soldiers? They've just done that. I'm giving you two current crimes against the people. Do I have to give you any more? So what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm standing here before you not by accident. I don't believe I'm standing before you by accident at all. I don't believe it's just a matter of entertainment and shtick and, you know, fortitude and grit and determination and education and intelligence. All of that is a factor in the fact that I'm still working and I still have a large audience despite the fact that my career came to an end several times and out of nowhere I came back like a phoenix from the ashes. I believe that I was put here for a purpose and I believe that I was born for a purpose. And I believe that that purpose is now congealed into one particular event, and that's the election coming up in November. Because if we don't take the Congress back from this evil scourge that has taken over this nation, you may as well write the nation off. You're never going to survive. It will not be here. It will not exist as you know it. And you say, well, okay, maybe that's good. Well, why is it good? What's the model that Obama's using? What is his model for this reconstructed, transformed America? Have you ever tried to figure out what his model may be? Does he even know what his model is for this transformation? I don't think he knows what the model is. I think he's so into using his power any way he can, he doesn't care about the consequences. I think he gets off on using his power. I think he gets off on violating people's freedoms. I think he gets off on making people feel humiliated. I think he gets off on all of these negative emotions. That's how he derives his power. And the cadre around him is no different. But what is their model exactly? Is it modern China? We're not much different than modern China. They're not yet harvesting our kidneys, but they seem to have more freedom, or as much freedom as we do here. How do we differ from any other totalitarian nation in the large sort? Tell me how we differ. You're telling me we have representative government? You're telling me that we have a party that represents our interests? You're telling me that we have a voice that will go to Washington and say, no more, Mr. President? I don't see it. I don't know where the voices are. There are a few, but you never hear them. Why? Because the media has blocked them. They don't exist. So as I say, there's a reason I sit before you today. You hear me only through the speaker. And the reasons are manifest. And that manifest is our destiny. And I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. This is a shocking poll. It's a shocking poll because no U.S. state has tried in the 150 years since the bloody Civil War that led to the end of slavery in the South to secede from the Union. And yet, right now, the failed Scottish vote has led to at least 24%. It's probably much higher. This is the same Ipsos Reuters poll that would say there are 11 million illegal aliens. We know there's probably 50 million, 40 million. Now, don't you love how they keep saying 11 million? They stick to the number. How do they know it's not 9.7 or 12.3? They don't know the number of illegals. I love to say 11 million. I've been saying it's 30 million for at least 3 years. So we certainly know it's not 11 million. So when Ipsos Reuters says it's 23.9% strongly support or tend to support the idea of the state breaking away from the union, it's got to be higher. 35%. One out of three voters would like to break away. But why? Why would they want to break away from the union? It's because of Barack Obama. It's not about health care reform. It's not about his mishandling of ISIS. It's not at all about that. It's everything he's done to us from top to bottom, from the beginning to the end. It's his arrogance. It's his meanness of spirit. It's his deviousness. It's his working on his own. It's his ignoring the people. It's his ignoring the military. His disrespecting the police. Whatever the issue is, he's on the wrong side of it. The people have had enough. They're fed up. They're on the verge of snapping from it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Brian in Charleston, South Carolina, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, what you say about Lincoln, who we sometimes call Stinkin' Lincoln, yeah, it's true what you say about him as a tyrant and so forth. I mean, yes, he had his good qualities, but the man took over and abrogated all the laws, such as you're talking about, and the whole Sumter incident was, frankly, just a little powder keg he's waiting for, and that's what it led to.
But, Charleston, the reason I even write about Lincoln and Stop the Coming Civil War is because Mr. Obama made the comparison between himself and President Lincoln right at the outset of his administration. And so he looks to what Lincoln got away with to see how far he can go. Do you agree with me, or is that a paranoid a feeling of mine?
No, you're not paranoid at all. That's 1,000% correct. And as far as percentages of wanting to secede, shoot, down here, that's every other person. For every other reason, too. Like you say, the South did secede earlier for all these various myriad of reasons, and there were. No, there's no one war fought for one reason. There's just not only any power and money when you get down to it.
Yeah, it's not. It was not only about slavery. The South was being cheated by the North in various and sundry trade agreements. You're a historian, I understand. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I'm a writer. I'm a storyteller, actually. But yeah, I'm somewhat of a historian. Well, I'm a tour guide, and so forth.
I hear you. Well, very few Northerners or Westerners understand this other side of the coin of the single copper penny, so to speak. But Brian, I'm sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm sure you, of all people, could put it to good use, okay? That opens up one line at 855-400-7282. This is Michael Savage. I am the anti-president. And now we go to Ken on WJR. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how are you doing today?
What's on your mind, Ken?
I believe we might refer to the president as the anti-president. Everything he does is besides, and it's not American. So
it's American in the sense that it's American, Ken, in the sense that we've had dictatorial presidents before. FDR was one, Lincoln was another, and they did things on their own, bypassing Congress and the law of the land, bypassing the Constitution. And Obama has used both of them as role models. He continues to use them as role models. And who has stopped them so far? If you look at the long list of insults against the people that he has performed, he has virtually been unopposed in the sense that there was an outcry, but no one stopped him, did they? No one's ever called him on the carpet. No one's impeached him. No one has made him pay for these acts, have they? So what is to stop him from declaring an insurrection? What is to stop him from provoking an insurrection, rather, and declaring martial law? What is to stop him from doing anything to achieve total and absolute power? Only you. It's the Savage Nation. Remember what I said. Stop the coming civil war.
You join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Digital 3 on Hot Talk 560.
And I would Zippo. Ask that your precious
God
would wash and cleanse.
Remember his show years ago?
Every stain.
He's back. He's back. Just like Hillary's back after the shame of their administration. Hillary's been reinvented, even though everything she touched has gone up in smoke. So 20 years after his release from prison, Jim Baker is back, and he's selling survivalist kits, including end-of-the-world biscuits. The majority of the food sources appear in the form of beans, such as the $3,000 Time of Trouble tub, which contains 7,728 servings of black bean burger pouches. Others include a mixed array of end-of-the-world gravy. Now, I've gone to restaurants where they said, you got to try this gravy, it's out of the world, but this guy's selling end-of-the-world gravy, and he also offers Kevin's Crazy Lasagna in large, tightly packed containers. Let's hear him again.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
See, now, Hillary got up and did this, I might vote for her. If she got up and admitted that in Benghazi, she pulled out the security in order to make sure that the so-called ambassador was knocked off after he transferred the weapons to the rebels, okay. If she said, I'm sorry I sinned for that, Well, she said, I'm sorry I supported the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I really shouldn't have. But I still am entitled to your vote because I'm Hillary Clinton and I'm a woman. And just being a woman trumps being a man. I mean, that really says a lot about the woman voter, doesn't it? They vote for a woman even if no matter what she does because she's a woman. That's great. That really shows discernment and intelligence. I got to tell you that. That really says a lot for the woman vote. Because she's a woman, she deserves the vote. You hear this? Holy God, what a country. How could it have come to this? Look at the choices we're going to have. Choice between Hillary, the tub of lard from New Jersey. I guarantee you he runs. The lunatic from Arizona. The foaming mouth lunatic McCain will run. The tuba player's husband will run. Newt Gingrich, because there's a lot of money in running. You have no idea what they make in running. If you had any idea what kind of money is made just by announcing your candidacy, you would consider running. Play a little heavy metal. I can't talk to anybody. I'm speechless. I feel that talk radio has become meaningless in the sense that we have no power. None. It's a fraud. It's a sham. We're being tortured to death by the lack of government. Most of us feel like we're being strangled to death. There's no government. They've abdicated. It's not a fraud. They're not there. They've gone home. 8 days and they went home. They gave him what he needed to authorize funding ISIS, which they now call the rebels, and they went home. And that's the end of that. So we have no government. Now what? It was like a drift. The people have no leadership. We have no representation. We know we have no leadership. Where's the representation? Okay, so I can complain about it all I want. Where am I going to get for this? More enemies? How much more can you take of this? Aren't you tired about hearing about the problems in the NFL on every conservative show and radio? All week long, hiding behind goons in football uniforms. While our government has been snatched from us in the middle of the night. Stolen! Taken from us. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people. How quaint. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That makes as much sense as using George Washington's dentist to replace your loose tooth. You may as well get wooden teeth to replace your loose teeth today, as believe a word that comes out of the major networks, or for that matter, the cable networks. Everyday lies. Stalinist lies. So they vote for independence from England and Scotland, and they lose. And now there are reports from independent observers who say the election was stolen. It was rigged. It was rigged by Cameron in London, who knew that if he lost, he'd be thrown out. Yes, indeedy. Always bold, always winning. The Savage Nation champion for America's borders, language, and culture. What a quaint idea. What a quaint idea that we have borders. Isn't it under Barack Obama? Isn't it a quaint idea that we have a language when he's importing people who are illiterate in their own language? They can't read or write Spanish, let alone English, but they know how to check off the box for free medical care, free health care, free legal care, free welfare, free amnesty. Just check the box and John Boehner will rubber stamp you. Yes, indeed. And they have a few voices on the other side. A few voices. Ted Cruz is one of them. Nine people voted against authorizing funding the terrorists in Syria. Nine. Count them. Nine Republicans. A few Democrats stood up to the dictator. Few. How do you feel about this government? How do you feel about a government run by a fraudster like Obama who's funding the rebels who we don't even know who they are? We all know the rebels are ISIS. We know there are no moderate rebels. They've either been killed by the radicals or they've been incorporated by the radicals. There are no longer the doctors and the dentists with AK-47s that McCain talks about. That lunatic! Lunatic. Where are the war crimes trials? Where are the war crimes trials? There are none. No trials, no war, no crimes. No crimes, no war, no trials. The authorization to train Syrian terrorists with almost no opposition from the liars in Congress. By the way, they went home after 8 days in session. I swear to God. We've become like an Argentinian Congress now. The gangsters came in for 8 days. They voted on one bill, which was to authorize the liar-in-chief to authorize payment to the so-called rebels in Syria to topple Assad under the guise of toppling ISIS. And then they went home to campaign. In other words, they went home to raise money. John Boehner went home to get another case of scotch for his condo in Jacksonville. Mitch McConnell went home to the turkey farm to gobble with the turkeys. There's no one left. We have no government. They've abdicated. Do you realize we have a government that's abdicated under this dictatorship? I want you to think about how profound that statement is. You keep thinking that there's a way to reach Obama. There's no way to reach him. He's a stone-hearted dictator. He does what he wants. No one has stopped him. No one has stood in his way. What is this now? Oh, Warren Buffett and the Burger King deal. You talk about a shyster. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't use that word. Which is the word that they got mad at? Was it shyster was the word? You can't. Shylock. I didn't call him a Shylock. I said shyster. That's not an ethnically derogatory word. Warren Buffett's the biggest con man in history, in my opinion. I don't mind that he's a trillionaire. God bless him. But to say we should all pay our fair share, being a stooge for Obama, to continue to get breaks to block the Keystone XL pipeline because his train company brings the oil in train cars at 10 times the price. So now he does a deal with a Canadian company, which will reduce his tax burden. Simply, he buys the Canadian company to save federal income tax. And it's called a corporate inversion. And his boss, Obama, who out of one side of his mouth says we've got to stop corporations from evading taxes, says nothing about Warren Buffett buying this Canadian company so that he can declare his company a Canadian company and avoid U.S. taxes. Listen to clip number 23.
It is a corporate inversion, and many corporate inversions are tax-driven. They are paying $11.8 billion for the acquisition. Now, if anybody would be paying $11.8 billion to say $30 million of federal income tax, they did not go to the math course that I went to.
No, of course not. You went to the Obama math class, whereas if you get a politician on your side, you pay no taxes or very few. I love when he says pay your fair share, that his secretary pays more than he does. Well, no one's stopping him from paying more. No one's stopping him from not doing a corporate inversion. You see how this works? Whatever. After 8 grueling days of work, Congress has canceled the rest of Congress until after the November elections. I swear to God. Congress heads home after exhausting 8 days of work. This is true. One vote on war and Congress is apparently all tuckered out. House leaders just announced today that they were cutting their already abbreviated fall session short and sending lawmakers home more than a week early. Did you hear this? This is after one vote. They're going home. And they're doing that in order to go out and campaign. So they will have been in session for a total of 8 days between the end of July and the middle of November. This is your Congress at work. That's John Boehner, the great hope of the Republican Party. They've adjourned until after the elections. Can you imagine? It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. Laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that 1 out of 3 children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. They're not all going to integrate. They're not going to all assimilate. So what does my book have to do with it? If you get the book and you simply hold it at work, put it on your desk at work, put it on a coffee table, and people say, what's this Stop the Coming Civil War about? Bingo. You have the billboard. You have a discussion. You have a chance to throw the bums out. Western societies are open societies, which is why we're dying as nations. The openness, the excessive openness. I'm not calling for a police state. I'm not calling for a militant theology that runs a nation. But there's a limit to what openness can be accepted by any society. And we've so passed that point that we are now being flooded by vermin, would-be terrorists coming here on the asylum claims. Obama, by the way, made it easier for people who had even a mild association with terrorism to come in as asylees. He just did that on his own a few months ago. I have it in Stop the Coming Civil War. You don't want to know the truth. You don't want to know how bad this guy is and how distorted liberalism is. He made it easier for people to come in who had ties to terrorists than before, all on his own. So now we have more welfare leeches, more would-be head cutters, more diseases from the third world, because liberalism is a mental disorder. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Look at Australia, what they woke up to. They were going to carry out a beheading in public, taking a random person off the street in Sydney and cut their head off. What a religion of peace this is. Now, immediately they said if they're not Muslims. I don't know what, they weren't Zoroastrians. I don't understand. Why do you always go out of the way to say it's not Muslims? I don't get it. Maybe that would embarrass the Muslim community into doing something. You know, like, get your house in order, baby. What do you mean they're not Muslims? They think they're Muslims. They say they're doing it for Islam. Government says it believes 100 Australians are actively supporting extremist groups from within Australia. Oh, and they don't throw them out? Recruiting fighters and grooming suicide bomber candidates. This is like Hitler's in power. in Germany, and you've got cells, Nazi cells, but you're not allowed to catch them and throw them out. You have to wait for the courts to act. All the Whigs put in there by the government, the liberal governments, give them 10 years of asylum, 10 years of trials, 53 lawyers for free. What a stupidity. You pass an emergency act, you throw them out. Anyone even loosely connected to them, including their mother, throw them out too. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I want to talk about the election in Scotland for secession. Now, I'll never forget that we fought in this country a civil war over secession. The South wanted to secede from the North. It led to a civil war. We would all like to avoid a civil war, but there are many of us who would like to secede from Obama's authoritarian dictatorship, which is what it is. There's no opposition party. There's no opposition press. We live in a dictatorship, and we're sick of it. Well, maybe the Scots felt the same way. So they wanted to secede from the tyranny of the liberals in England. Well, guess what? They couldn't. Why? Well, a Russian election observing group said that the government in Westminster rigged the Scottish independence vote. They said that the vote count was fixed to secure a no victory. Now, I don't know whether to believe it or not, but why not believe it? We know the British government is a corrupt government. We have no idea what really happened. You really trust your election? You trust that when we're going to vote in November, we're going to get a fair count? With Nancy Pelosi involved and Harry Reid involved? Are we living in a putative dictatorship? In fact, before the vote, there were polls showing that the Yes campaign took the lead at one point and that the two camps were very close together. So how did this all of a sudden change? Well, had the referendum gone the other way, the impact on England would have been monumental, with many, many people saying that Prime Minister Cameron would have been forced to resign. And as you well know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I know this doesn't mean much to you, but it's interesting. I'm tired, by the way, of hearing about the problems in the NFL. I do not understand why conservative hosts are focusing on the NFL all week. Why are they ignoring the news? Why? What's this with the NFL? I can care less what a gangbanger does on a football field. All week long, all I hear is NFL. Well, okay, you like listening to that? Good to you. Do you feel the country is more angry this week than ever before? Well, we're also talking about religion. Have you lost trust in your religious leaders? I don't know. What religious leaders? Does America have religious leaders? Who would they be? Who is America's number one religious leader? That's interesting. I don't know one. We've been talking about religious frauds you have known or know. Remember the old TV evangelist, Jim Baker? Well, he's out of jail selling survivalist kits, including end-of-the-world biscuits. Yep. Oh, wait. How about culture in America? You're not going to believe this story. Attention, Americans. Attention, Americans. Lincoln Center in Manhattan, ground zero for culture in America, is running a new opera that is pro-terrorist. It is an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, pro-terrorist opera called The Death of Klinghoffer. Now, remember who Klinghoffer was. He was a crippled man on a cruise ship in a wheelchair who was thrown overboard by the Palestinian vermin. Remember? You're not going to believe what this opera does. Are you listening? The composer of Klinghoffer, some idiot named John Adams, blames the Jewish victims, justifies terror, humanizes terrorists, states that terrorists are still human beings, and there are reasons why they become terrorists. Are you listening to this? It gets even worse. Are you ready for this one? The Met's website video twists a phrase to avoid stating that Leon Klinghoffer, who was in a wheelchair and thrown overboard by the Palestinians, that he was even executed in cold blood by Palestinian terrorists. Instead, the Metropolitan website states this, quote, one of the passengers, Leon Klinghoffer, died. He was killed within the hijacking. This is what's going on in your country, and this is the largest Jewish population in America. But because it's become liberalized, because the Jewish population in New York has been deballed by liberalism, because of their worship of Obama and left-wingism, the enemies are not only at the gates, the enemies are feasting inside the city itself. It is why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. If you think it's just a book, don't listen any further. We have one shot left. One shot left to avoid a real civil war in this country. I'm trying to stop a civil war, not start one. I'm asking you to go out and buy it today on BarnesandNoble.com or when it comes out in the bookstores on October 7th. Mark your calendars, buy the book, clean out the shelves, buy one for your friends, send a message to everyone that we're going to stop the coming civil war. I'm Michael Savage. God bless America.
Savage.